Perry, we heard this morning from Christo Visser that he is an incurable optimist and he sees opportunities everywhere. You said you see opportunities everywhere. Are you also an incurable optimist?
I don't know that fancy word, but I can tell you I'm an optimist because, the whole time, if I talk to my team, I'm saying, think about opportunities. Think about how you're going to solve the problem. Because when you're negative, you actually lock your mind. You don't think. You're not going to like it. But I've got a policy personal that over weekends I don't read newspapers because our newspapers are all very negative.
No, I like it. I like it that you don't read newspapers.
Yeah, but for me, it's about our mindset. If I look at, we can all sit here and think about how bad it is in South Africa. I've just come back from New York and I've just been in England. And if you talk to those people, they're more negative than us. We must just get our mindset right to look at what is the opportunities. And I really want to challenge yourself, go and look at the townships and really go and see what is happening really in South Africa.
Just to just dwell on the media a little bit, how much the fact that you don't consume media over the weekends sounds like a very sensible approach. When you say it's because it's negative, does it affect your mind?
Yeah, I think if I'm the Minister of Communication or whatever you call it, I'll make a rule that newspapers and media must write 30-40% positive things. And I think it's a nice challenge for everyone because if you really go and look at the news that you consume, 80%, 90% is negative. And there is positive things. We must just go and find it. And that puts yourself in a positive mindset to look at opportunities.
As you mentioned, we will be talking to GG a little bit later. In the conversation that we had a bit earlier with Mavuso Msimang, he was saying there was a heck of a lot that needed to be fixed before we can really fulfill the potential of this country. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think if you look at government, I think what we need from government is clarity on direction, on certain issues that you really know. Because what is the private sector looking for? If we've got clarity on investments, where we're going, et cetera, then we know, here's the rules, and we play in those rules, and we focus on that. So I think there's a lot of focus. I think what is happening in my experience and also working is there's for sure at top level understanding and acceptance that the private sector must come in. And we've started to see the work that's happening in Eskom, Transnet, et cetera, et cetera. I think in the middle level, middle management, that is not accepted yet. We still need to get through there. And the one that makes me very exciting is, depressed, if I can call it that, is education. Because if we really want to be successful in South Africa, we need to up our education game tremendously. Because the skill levels that we are producing is not producing the right skills for the demands that the economy and world economy is asking for ourselves. If I look at 5 years ago, I just know a new IT engineer. Now we've got data engineers, we've got cloud engineers, we've got about 15 different engineers in our area. As we're sitting here, I'm looking for about 200 data people, and I'm looking for about 200 IT people. We haven't got those skills. So we're busy with that massive thing to bring people up from within. But we need to look and say, how do you optimize the whole education system? How do you bring digital in? And it's been interesting. I remember going into the townships. I remember now Kwakwa. Kwakwa's got 200 schools. How do you manage and make certain the standard in Kwakwa of 200 schools? Rather they have 10 big schools, high quality, and make certain the standard is correct. And if you look at any one of the schools, they operate basically from 8 to 1, or make it 8 to 2. Then all infrastructure is standing still. Why are the schools not operating from 8 till 2, and then 2 o'clock, you bring in a new class that operates till 7, and you pay your teachers double? You know, it's that different mindset that we need to get going on the education side. There's a lot of work to be done in that space.
When you guys co-founded Capitec, and it is one of the great success stories in South African business ever, you had a vision. You gave us those principles that you work from, transparency, etc. Other entrepreneurs who want to follow your path to success, Where do they get that vision from?
For me, it's you know, if you see that opportunity, you really need to think about all facets of that opportunity and to say, how do we go and execute on that that vision? And I look now as financial services, the value-added services. 2-3 years ago, we had nothing. But we created a department, we put focus on it, we put the right people on it, the right team on it, and then we leave the people and they go. But I can promise you those people are working basically 18 hours a day because they've got this passion to actually deliver and to make a difference to our client base. So you need to define that, and you need to really make certain that you execute on a strategy. I see a lot of entrepreneurs that they want to do this, then this, then this. The biggest lesson in creating a business is the ability to say no. It's very easy to say yes. Say no and really focus on one or two things and get a proper market share in that particular area.
But there are a lot of financial services institutions who've got teams who are working on issues. They haven't got the innovation record that you have. And particularly when you went through that list of the last 18 months, I was wondering, when were you going to stop? Because the next one sounded bigger and bigger.
I can keep you busy for a while.
Sure. So where's the difference then?
I think if you look at the way we've structured ourselves is we've got teams that is focused on specific areas, but those teams don't compete against each other. They're working to the bigger Capitec objective, where we want to go. So they work in their teams. They're coming up with innovations, but we at Exco look and make certain and say what is the best and where we put our resources. Because if you just have teams like that, they become in silo and they fight against each other. And if you haven't got that real focus on certain areas and that real accountability, then you also lose quite a lot of that.
I know you travel a lot. I know you read a lot. You have very interesting business partners around the world, including Amazon. Maybe you can tell us a little about that story. But when you bring all of this knowledge back, how do you then personally distill it so that you can lead your executive committee or your exco to go to the next step?
I think I've got a philosophy by, if I look at leadership, I think people make leadership too complicated. Leadership is just, in very simplistic terms, the ability to explain the why a person must go and do something. And go and think about, when you explain it to somebody, can you explain it in a very simplistic manner that the person 100% understands it? And then the other question is, ask the questions to make certain that person understands the why, so the person can really go through it. And then, for me, what is very important is challenge yourself the whole time. Whenever I do something, that night or an hour after that, I would ask myself, how could have I done it better? What can I improve? Where can I make a difference? It's that culture of saying, how do we do things differently? If you really look at what Capitec has done, we've actually not really innovated something completely new. Banking is banking. We just looked at it completely different, and we looked at it very importantly from the client perspective. For me, interesting, people ask me, are you a banker? I say, no, I'm a retailer. And what's the difference between a banker and a retailer? A banker thinks risk and then client. We think client first and then risk. And that is a very important thing, is that obsess question on what is the client needs and looking at those clients and say, what do we have to do for the client?
I wish they took the Capitec system to Pretoria and had a look at the clients being the voters,
yeah,
and obsessed about them. We've got this big election coming up. We've heard all kinds of theories, but also questions about what business can do just to turn out the vote, so at least we have more people involved in the process. Is there anything you at Capitec are doing or can do?
We will for sure talk to our client base. We will talk to our, you know, we've got 22 million clients as a big client base. We'll talk to our staff. We've always been apolitical, so we won't focus on us, but I think it's important for South Africa that go and vote. Because our problem that we're sitting, a big portion of South Africans don't vote. I haven't got the stats, but I think the turnout for the last election was like 4 or 5 million. It wasn't a lot of people. So I think it's important that if we want to make a change, you need to go and vote for whoever you believe you vote for. And I think I share the opinions of the two speakers this morning. I think the critical thing is the opposition parties going to take over Gauteng, Pretoria, KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape? Because I think that would be the first big step. And then the second one is, in the next election, can we have a turnaround?
Final question before we go to the floor. You mentioned you have to be prepared to disrupt yourself as a business. Is that something that one should be using personally as well?
For sure, because otherwise you're not improving. For me, you know, if I look at the way we operate, if I'm uncomfortable with the margin we're making on a product, the first question I would say, we're asking too much and we're opening up a gap for somebody else to come in. And you need to have that mindset. You need to look and say, you know, I look at funeral currently. We bring in life now in July. And if we've taken everything over from the Sanlam system, we are for sure from January, February, going to look at how to disrupt the funeral side. And funeral is bringing in a lot of profitability to ourselves, but I don't think it's to the best value for the client and it's not sustainable long term. So you need to have that mindset to say to yourself, it's working now, you're making good profits out of it, but long term, is it sustainable and is it in the best interest of your clients? And those answers are no, then go and disrupt it.
So if your margins are too big, watch out, a competitor is coming.
That's for sure.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you for your fantastic talk. I should imagine your employees must be absolutely thrilled to work for you. I just want to ask you, I mean, I know just by observing that every single domestic has got a Capitec account. You probably know all that. I've got some of my friends coming over. To what extent are you taking market share from the established banks and getting into the upper socioeconomic group?
Yeah, thanks for that question. It's quite funny, but I think it was about 10 years ago. I said the Capitec journey is you first bank the domestics, then you bank the children, then you bank the wife, and then the husband. And I think we're very, very strong going into that momentum. And if you look at it now, on the top end market, we've got about now 15% market share. At the bottom end, we're at about 45% market share. And as we're adding products like what I've shared with yourself, that market shares just keep on growing. And because I really believe the value that you are getting from us compared to any one of the other banks, we're much more superior.
Thank you. When you look out over the next 5 years, how do you see things like large language models and all the variations of AI impacting banking, financial services, and specifically Capitec?
Sorry, I missed it.
Large language models, artificial intelligence, and the impacts on financial services.
I think this is probably the one area that I didn't cover in my speech. It was there somewhere. I forgot about it. Is that we've actually said in 2019, we're becoming an IT company, and I've explained what we've done. The brief now is we are a data company. To just give you a understanding, we're communicating about 40 million communications per month to our client base. Our credit models, all of that is machine learning, AI, et cetera, et cetera. But with everything moving to the cloud, everything is all our data is now on AWS in the cloud, and it's now in a single data center, and that gives us the ability now to actually optimize our clients on all aspects. And if you look at AI, very critical area for us, how do you actually use it? We had a demo at our leadership conference now 2 weeks ago, and it's quite scary. I like Excel models, and Excel models will tell you, I can tell a person, look at these variables, and do a sum for me, and they build a spreadsheet. Now you can go on Microsoft, and you say, I want to see all the people with income above 20,000 with brown hours in the Western Cape. 2 minutes later, you got the answer. So the whole AI data side is a very critical strategy for us going forward.
So you've got it plugged in already?
Sorry?
You've got AI plugged in already into the Capitec system?
We're already using it, still on a very small scale. But for sure, it's opportunities. A project that they're working on now is, for example, on our HR policies. You know, it's a nightmare to go and file on what is the leave policy, what is all of that. By the end of the year, you should be able to ask a question and automatically HR question will be answered.
And who are you using? Who's your...
We're using AWS very strongly, and then Microsoft as well, and then our own people.
Good day, Mr. Furi. We're a lot of entrepreneurs sitting here in this wall, like-minded people like yourself with a lot of ideas and opportunities and so forth. Are you thinking of moving in the direction of commercial loans? Some of our entrepreneurs hit our head with the normal commercial banks with loans like that, and being it small loans or bigger loans, but more focusing on commercial.
Yeah, if you look at Mercantile or now Capitec Business Banking, we do commercial loans. We're not going to focus on commercial loans per se, and I'm talking now 100 million plus, because that market is extremely competitive. But we're looking at 100 million below. There's some of our clients that's above 100 million. So we will definitely focus, I'm going to call it from 20 million to 100 million, which is then mortgages, commercial properties, et cetera, et cetera. But for us, the big focus is how do you unlock the SME and the emerging markets in South Africa? That's where our big focus is going to be, because we believe there's an opportunity where we can make a difference to South Africa.
As of last year, I went to Capitec branch. I can't bank with Capitec. They just don't offer the specialized services that I would require. And I'd venture to say a lot of the people here require on a personal or business level. Question is, would you ever address that market? More importantly, for you personally, who do you bank with?
That's a good question. I'll start with that. If I look at my personal, I'm with Capitec. If I look at business banking, I'm unfortunately with Investec. And I say it unfortunately because there's massive rules and regulations that you need to handle if you've got business opportunities and you're CEO of a bank. I hate these rules because I would love to bank everything with Capitec. I think the important thing is for us is those real specialized needs, we will leave to the specialized banks, the Investec, et cetera. We're focusing on that 95-96% of the needs of clients. I really challenge personal banking because I had way back personal bankers. They change every year, 2 years, and then you've got a new person. And really, over time, I've actually built my own relationship with asset managers, tax advisors, et cetera, et cetera. It's very difficult to compete in that market. So we're focusing on running on basic banking needs, satisfying 95% of those needs. And if you want that specialized services, outsource it. For us, that's the model. Because that ability gives us then the ability to scale and to keep costs down. Because your fixed cost basically is stagnant and you get that throughput coming through. If you look at our digital banking, a transaction costs you R1. It's been R1 for the last 6 years.
We nearly forgot to pick up on this one that was mentioned by Christo Visa earlier, the whole Kaya Lum issue. Given that it's to do with title deeds and given that you're very, very strong in that market.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're a sponsor of them. I think we've got about 1,000 houses that we've got title deeds on through them. I've actually asked that they just get me the stats. But I think to understand title deeds in South Africa, it's quite interesting. If you go and look at the NCR stats, there's roughly about 2 million people that's got a title deed in South Africa. Because everyone asks me why we're not on secured lending. It's something that we will look at in the future. But it's 2 million. So if you multiply by 5, then you're around about 10 million people that has got a secured home in South Africa. It's quite a scary stat. If you go into Soweto, and I've got first-hand experience on that, about 80% of the title deeds, because those houses are all just got title deeds, but 80% of those title deeds are old and still is on the parents' or the grandparents' names. And then to change that is massively because you now need to go through the whole backlog. And in Soweto alone, there's about 10 different title deeds, which makes that whole process extremely complex, which you should simplify. The government should simplify it because I fully agree that you should need to. And then the other big one is what I call chief land or trust land. If you look at KwaZulu-Natal, 70% of KwaZulu-Natal is chief land with no title deeds. Yet, if you drive through those chief lands, you'll see massive houses there. What they do is, as they earn money, they will build. And the opportunity lies in saying, how do you take the power of the chiefs away, which is a very big traditional question mark that needs to be addressed, and give those people title deeds, because then they can take a mortgage and then they can gear and they can run businesses, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's important to understand title deeds, about plus minus 2 million title deeds in South Africa. A massive amount of title deeds are never been transferred from the grandparent to the child today. And that process is very cumbersome. But there's massive opportunities to streamline it. We just need to have the right focus on it. And then the chief lands. I don't know if you go into KwaZulu-Natal, those areas, Bosbokrand, those areas, go and drive in those areas. It's quite frightening the sizes of houses that is on chief lands. So we're actually working on a project with Cashbuild, whereby we're seeing how can we get some sort of a security from the chief that he will make certain that the community will look after if you default, to see how we can actually finance those houses more affordable.
That's a very, very interesting capital unlock opportunity. Yeah. Matty Kirsch actually did that in Swaziland. You tried it in South Africa, it didn't work, but if you can unlock that, wow.
The problem, you're sitting with good chiefs and you're sitting with bad chiefs. That's your challenge.
Good day. You mentioned that Capitec had an aim to reduce cash transactions, and you've instituted the PayShop product. What are the challenges associated with reducing cash transactions?
Yeah, that's our biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity. Maybe I must explain it. If you look at PayShop, let's just go and look. That's why I was in Brazil, because they've got Pix. And I want to look, myself and Inc. Lawrence, we spent about 10 days in Brazil to go and look at why they implemented Pix. And what they've done with Pix is controlled by the Reserve Bank of Brazil. They own the UX, they own the pricing, they own the marketing, and they own the product. And they're forcing it down, and they've switched 80% of cash to electronic. If you go and look at Mexico, Mexico has got our model. Different pricing, different UX, different marketing with the different players. I don't think this model is going to work. I can't say too much, but there's big moves taking place now currently in the payment space that I think will change it in the next 18 months. If you look at what we've done is, if you look at QR payments, please pay me, Apple Pay, all of these, we've got a massive drive on payments to actually make certain that we get the person to use electronic payments and move away from cash. Interesting, if I look at our client base and I take the cash per client, that has actually come down. But it's to get our clients to actually use electronic payments, because it's quite easy. If you withdraw R1,000, I don't know what you've done with R1,000, because you spend 50 year, 100 year, 200 year. But the moment you do it electronically, I build up a scorecard on you, and I can understand how you're using it, and I can then create value-added services to yourself.
So in May 2013, our SME joined Capitec. I was amazed at the speed of opening the account, the levels of service, and I then told the person that was sitting in my office, please, when you have business banking, I would like to be your first customer. But opening the Capitec Business Bank was like a nightmare for me for the past 14, 15 months. And I've been trying to get the message of what's going wrong to a decision maker, but I'm blocked at every pathway. How can I get that message of what's going wrong with these nice things that you've said, simplicity, transparency, that you have a banker talk to me? I haven't experienced that. How do I get that message to someone that needs to know about it to make a success of this
bank? You can send it straight to me. I will look at it. But I think the experience, what you must remember, what we had 12 months ago, what we had 3 months ago, is vastly different what we're doing now. Because basically all systems, all processes has been changed. So you basically changed the heart of the business. If you look at now digitally on board for a simplistic company and a sole prop, our average time now is 30 minutes to open your bank account. We've go as low as 4 minutes now. And that's just new technology that has come in. So I can really understand frustrations of, let's say, a couple of months ago. I'm 100%. That's why we haven't made a big ooh-ah of business banking, because we need to understand the volumes and how to handle volumes. The systems are there. So we're working very hard for the next 3-4 months to make certain we can scale. And then from about July, August, we'll drive it above the line. The whole offer coming through. It's interesting. If you look at retail, we open about 200,000 clients per month. In business banking, we're now at about 8,000-9,000 a month. They used to open 1,000 a year. So that is the scale that you need to bring in your systems to really take it to the next level.
That's very interesting that you've already got to 8,000-9,000. And to be fair to Gerry, I've asked him about Mercantile becoming Capitec Bank for many months, and he said, no wait. So unfortunately, I think you were just unlucky to go in a bit before the time. If he says it's now, now it's worth having a look again. And so that's what you're telling us. You're telling we can now go and have a proper deco.
We I can promise you now, it's like anything new. There will somewhere be a hiccup, but please escalate it to either myself or to their client service levels or to call directly. We've got full-time teams looking at us. And we understand still gaps that there is, because you don't take a banking system and rebuild it and everything works 100% first time, especially if you scale.
Just talk.
Harry, the Capitec flywheel is spinning furiously from what you've said today. How long did it take you? Because the hard work is in the beginning. How long did it take to really get the flywheel going? And was there ever a moment when you lost the faith and you thought this is just not going to happen?
If you build a business, it sells nice now, and you think everything was easy. We're talking systems. I remember Rihanna and myself was in KwaZulu-Natal in 2006, 2007. And we're a branch, and a client wanted to hit Rian. And then he go and hide in a restaurant the whole day till we flew back, because the system didn't want to get up. So it's a challenge. But coming back, it's if you look at that snowball effect or that flywheel, where you work very hard and things, you move. And then at one stage, that snowball, the flywheel is just starting to move. And I think that happened about 14, 15, where people really didn't ask anymore who was Capitec eyes, and the flywheel were moving. And if you look at our just client numbers, 2014, we were at 14 million. 2018, we were 10 million. We basically doubled every 5 years. And then the snowball effect just happened. But I think that's an important point, Grant, is that, you know, businesses, you need to make those hard yards. It takes a while, but you need to, if you're clear on your mission and you really work, go for it. And then at one moment, that snowball starts rolling, and then you see the and the nice thing of that happening, then you get economics of scale. You get a lot of things that's then taking place.
When did you know that the flywheel was moving?
Quite interesting, and I actually don't want to use competitors, but I think we were always seen as a microlender. And with the demise of African Bank, people suddenly realized, but we are taking deposits, we are traditional, we are a bank, we are doing transactions, we are different. And that gave us a switch. And I think you can really say 2014, 2015, our product range was getting bigger. And as you know, in 2014, we didn't have a credit card. So the app was just launched. And that first year, we had 1 million people on the app. So you were bringing in these other services that to actually create that value for your client. And that's when you're seeing the flywheel. And what we're definitely seeing now is what I call the magic or the power of 22 million clients and 850 branches. If we put a product now on the market, you're talking, you know, 8, 9, 10% market share within 3-4 months.
It's been a privilege. Thank you. Yeah. Very free.